This is J.J. Lawhorn, and you're listening to American Roots Outdoors Radio.
You're listening to American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. I'm the Red Bone Mike Crace, and, of course, we're presented by Hornady Ammunition. Alex joins us via the telephone. And, Alex, what are you doing out there today?
Well, you're always saying, where in the world is Alex?
Yeah, where in the world is Alex?
I'm down here on the beautiful lower end of Current River, Donovan, Missouri area, and I've got a guy in my boat. I met this guy this past spring. His name is Mark Schroeder. Mark is a Gatewood, Missouri native, and we got a lot of listeners in Gatewood. He listens to our show religiously. And I'm down here with Mr. Monty York. Becky York is his wife. She is a county official here, elected official here.
Yeah.
And we're down here trying to troll and catch some of these walleye. You know, okay. Right now everybody's thinking about whitetail hunting, and the pre-rut's in, and we got John Manning calling in, going to talk pre-rut activity for us and techniques. And what I want to do is talk about high school football, but also share some of the techniques that we're doing here on the Current River with our walleye specialist. I'm going to call you a walleye specialist, Mark.
Amateur.
He says he's an amateur. He caught a 10-pounder red bone.
No kidding. That's a big walleye in the river.
Yeah. But anyway, what about Fair?
Well, they took a loss, you know, last week to the Ava Bears in a battle of state-ranked undefeated teams, 12-6 in overtime. And Alex, I got to tell you, is one of the best defensive football games I've ever seen in my life. Thayer actually had more yards, had more first downs. We dropped two touchdown passes, or the game would not have went into overtime. So the Bobcats played really well, but Ava got the win, and Ava remains undefeated. You realize, and of course we're recording this on Thursday, so there were games last night in, you know, when this show airs on Saturday in most of our stations. Ava has not lost an SCA conference game in 20 games. They went over Thayer, made 20 conference games in a row that they have won. And, you know, Thayer Bobcats, Alex, you know, talked to some of the kids and did coaches' interviews. They saw it, you know, as a moral victory just to play a team of that quality, that close, and to hold them to 130 yards of total offense. So, yeah, we lost, but we're not feeling bad about it. We're on to bigger and better things now, and that would be a district championship.
Exactly. And I want to say this about both teams. Mm-hmm. What two great, excellent teams. And here we have we're a 2A school, I say we. Thayer's a 2A school, correct?
No, Thayer's a 1A. We are the smallest school in the SCA.
Okay, 1A school. Well, here we go. 1A school playing a 3 or 4A school.
Well, Ava's a big 2A, yeah.
Oh, they're a big 2A. Well, anyway, my point is a smaller school facing a bigger school, and you guys going to overtime. That's a huge statement for the Thayer Bobcats, Mark.
Yeah,
now,
well,
do you listen to K-Country football some?
Yeah. Not football, but I listen to the radio station
some. Yeah. But anyway, we just want to commend both teams. And Liberty Eagles is getting better.
Mm-hmm.
They've won the last 3 or 4 games. So it seems like they found themselves, and everybody's playing together as a team. So Cape Girardeau teams that may be listening, we want to wish all the Cape Girardeau, Poplar Bluff, Ava, Missouri, Salem, Missouri teams the best of luck.
But, absolutely.
Oh, listen to this. Mark, yeah. I tell you something.
Donovan won their first football game.
I saw that last week, and I'm proud of the Donovan Dons. You know, that first one is so hard to get when you start a new program. And now they got it, and now that monkey's off their back, and they can go on now and concentrate on getting number two.
Yep. Hopefully they'll get better. You know, 2 years now they've won their first game.
Well, you know, I know from, you know, Thayer played Donovan, you know, Thayer played Donovan second week of the season, and I'm gonna tell you, it wasn't a pushover like it was the first season. Those boys hit as hard, and you could tell that they were much improved in just 1 year. I'm thinking next year, Donovan is gonna be, they're gonna be really good, Alex. They started out with a very young team, and those kids are gonna have, you know, 3 years under their belt. Yeah, look out for Donovan here, if not next year, certainly the year after.
Right, if they can get some seasoned players.
Yep, that's exactly right.
That's what they need is some seasoned players.
Yeah, and you can play them.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I'm so proud of Donovan, man. You know, they're getting high school football back in their curricular.
Yeah.
And, you know, Friday Night Lights back in Donovan. What does everybody think about that as a whole in Donovan, if I may ask you, Mark? You hear a lot of people talk.
It's going over good. I mean, the stands are full. I haven't been to any of their games, but, you know, they talk like there's a big crowd all the time.
That's awesome, isn't it, Redbone?
It is awesome, and I know they're loving their football. Charlie Weathers and some of those guys over there, and Doc Hunt, that helped get that all started. Yeah, hats off to you. You're doing a good thing. Alex, we just got a couple of minutes here. I know you want to talk a little bit about these techniques for catching these walleye on the rivers right now.
Okay, what we're doing, Redbone, and Mark, he's been doing it for many years with Mr. Monty York, and what we're doing, we troll with crankbaits, and we troll with bottom bouncers, different techniques, and these guys have been catching them, and basically the technique of a crankbait is you cast your line out, you count out 10 seconds, depending on what length and what depth you're running, then you just idle your boat at 1,000 RPMs, about 1 mile an hour, and you troll with these deeper holes. And that's how we're catching them. So, a different color of crankbaits, the chartreuse ones are what they usually like, chartreuse and black or chartreuse and brown. That's what we're doing. We've been on the water. I had boat trouble, and I want to make mention, my oil light kept coming on, so we fought it for over an hour. So I called Current River Marine, and I talked to Ryan down there, and he told me what to do, and it fixed my boat so far. Wow. So I want to give a big shout-out to Current River Marine and Don from Missouri for being so nice to help us.
All right, very good. All right, so trolling for the walleye. Now, are you going to try and catch anything else? I mean, are you just
strictly walleye? Well, if we can catch our limit before dark and walleye, what we're hoping to do is try to catch some of these Kentuckys and largemouth, and we'll focus on that. But right now, we're just trying to catch our first walleye. We've had so much boat trouble, we've trolled, what, two or three holes right now and have not caught a fish. We caught one smallmouth.
Okay.
Yeah. We caught one smallmouth. But I want to say this. If you've never been on Current River, I want to encourage people to get out. Take your family, get your grandkids, get your kids out here on the Current River and look at the beautiful colors that's changing right now along the rivers. You see oranges, you see reds, browns, greens, and black. There's different color grays. Beautiful colors on the river.
Yeah, and the colors have really just started coming on here in the last couple of days, and it's really been pretty amazing. It always is in the fall to watch the transformation. So, Alex, real quick, you seen any bucks yet on the farm that you're targeting for this gun season?
Redbone, I've got some nice bucks. I don't have any giant bucks on my farm that's come and going. They don't stay there. They come and go.
Yeah.
But what you're going to see, everybody, this is my prediction. Get ready. All the listeners from Cape Girardeau to Springfield, Missouri, Rolla, Missouri, Plum to Jonesboro, Harrison, Mountain Home, all over Arkansas, get ready. Because what you're fixing to see in the next 2 weeks is you're going to see bucks show up that you've never seen before with your running trail cameras. You're fixing to see bucks, so it's fixing to happen. The pre-rut's in right now. Bucks are checking does or nose them, and they're pushing them a little bit. But the big bucks aren't showing up, big mature bucks. You know, the biggest deer I probably got on camera, you know, just a mature deer, average deer. I'd love to kill a 150, 160. A lot of people say, oh, I've seen a 150. Well, when they show me a picture of 150, it's a 130.
Yeah,
anyway, I'm not being negative to anybody, but. You're fixing to see it bust wide open anytime.
All right, speaking of busting wide open, we need to go pay some bills. Got to get to a break here. Alex, I know we got John Manning from Team Ohio coming up, and he'll be with us for the rest of the program talking about the early season tactics, and I think we're going to talk a little bit of fall turkey hunting and just some other things too. So you have good luck out there on the river, and y'all be safe.
All right, Redbone, thank you for everything, and thank you, everybody, for listening to American Roots Outdoors. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back with more.
Mike, where did you get the American Roots Outdoors hat and shirt? Those are cool.
Well, I got them online, believe it or not, and you can too.
Anybody could if they're online.
Absolutely. It's not a big deal.
www.AmericanRootsOutdoors.com.
Hornady Ammunition presents the American Roots Outdoors Radio Show with Alex Rutledge. I'm Redbone Mike Crace. As we mentioned a moment ago, Alex stepping away here, and we're going to welcome John Manning alongside here in the studio from Team Ohio. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. All right, so, you know, we talked here a month or so ago, and y'all were starting to see a few bucks, and they were starting to drop the velvet and all that. And now here we are mid-October. Do we have hard horns in Ohio?
Oh, yeah. Yep, I have all velvets down, and it's hard horns.
Well, you know, and we talked about that time. That's not very often you get an opportunity to harvest a buck in the velvet. But nothing like those hard horns, those things glistening in the sun in the morning, coming through the woods and, you know, stepping into a little sunny patch, and you see that little light, and you go, oh, there's one coming. Because it's the only thing in the woods that does that. So, so where are the deer? You know, here in Missouri, I think we're kind of in the pre-rut. You know, we had a full moon on Sunday, And we got another full moon. It's going to be coming up here, what, about mid-November? So we're kind of in the pre-rut in Missouri. What about Ohio?
We're in about the same ball game. We're just starting to get into it. The older bucks right now are not really doing anything unordinary. Mm-hmm. Other than we did pull cameras the other day and had two of them kind of clanking horns together on the pitch here at night.
Oh, wow.
Most of the younger bucks are starting to chase does. Mm-hmm. This temperature's dropped. We've dropped down into the 30s, 40s at night.
Right.
And then we've been in the 40s here the past couple of days. And I've noticed the younger bucks, we have been kind of chasing. Just the does are not interested. It's just, you know, they're young. And mm-hmm. it's time to chase a few here. That's what they're thinking. And it's like I said, I think we're still a couple of weeks out before we're going to see real, you know, heavy time for these deer to start getting up on their feet and moving.
Yeah, I think you're right. And as far as, I mean, aggressively chasing those does but, you know, one of the things that we know here in Missouri, and we hear from guys that have been out bow hunting and people that have been doing a lot of scouting, is there are a lot of scrapes already, which is a little bit early. So, I mean, I don't know exactly what the explanation is. Are y'all seeing that in Ohio? And have you heard that from other parts of the country as well?
Yes, I'm actually seeing, I got one farming you can see from the road, and I'm seeing a lot of trees getting burned up already. So I don't know if it's just a change in temperature or what's going on. I don't know if it's mainly the younger bucks, mm-hmm. just, you know, kind of filling their oats. Like I said, our bigger bucks have kind of dropped off camera here in the past few weeks, and I'm not scared about it. We had a lot of white oaks hit the ground, and I truly think that they're staying right on them white oaks. So it's just, and I haven't even been in the stand yet. We've been just waiting for that prime time to go in. I don't want to booger up anything, so sure. We're getting close.
Yeah, and I think that's the case across at least the Midwest portion of the country, John, and that is a lot of acorns are falling. And as everybody knows, and we've talked about it on the show many times, if there are acorns falling, I don't care what you got in the food plot. I don't care, you know, what you're putting out, if you put out supplemental feed or whatever. The deer are going to eat those acorns because that's their mm-hmm. primary food source. That's where they get their energy. That's where those big bucks, you know, build all of their energy and build a lot of fat to get them through the rut, and for the does to get them through not only the rut but the winter season and being pregnant mm-hmm. and all those things. So, yeah, if you're hunting right now, I mean, you got to be hunting the big tall white oak trees.
Yep, yeah, definitely. And like I said, we're getting ready. I say in the next week or so, if we can get one kind of pattern real well, we'll be out. I've got my actual boss from the company I work at, and then one of our senior vice president engineering is coming in the first part of November. They're going to be in a whole week with me, so. We're going to be probably hunting hot and heavy starting right then and there. So,
all right. So what tactics are you thinking about? And when those guys come in, or if you get out here in the next week or so, what tactics will you use when you're in the stand?
I basically, when it's still early, I don't get really hard. I'll rattle and I'll grunt and I'll do all the call and stuff. And I'm just putting, putting out some buck urine out, just kind of putting some lick sticks up, just, mm-hmm. you know, patterning them that way to see. I don't really want to put no hot dough out. I've actually kind of, luckily, I've got a friend of mine that owns a deer farm, mm-hmm. and he collects urine, so I've got it kind of made. He'll basically call and tell me, hey, I've got one that's hot. Come get some urine.
You know, that's a strange conversation to have on the phone.
Yeah.
For people that don't deer hunt, I mean, they hear that and they go, what? You're going to go to somebody's house and collect some deer urine? But I mean,
I've actually had people at my work that are not hunters look into my office when I'm talking to him, like, what are you saying? Deer hunting. Oh, okay.
Yeah, deer hunting. All right, so... So the pre-rut, not aggressively calling, just enough to let the deer know that there is another deer in the woods.
Yeah, just do some sparling type rattling. not real heavy, hammering down. When I really know that these bucks are really getting at it, fighting, I'll get a little more aggressive. If you got a good set of horns, I usually get some sheds I'll take with me. I got my rattle bag, my AR rattle bag, and I love it. Mm-hmm. I love that thing because it's so portable that I can, if I got a buck out there, I can just hit that real lightly enough that where he's not watching me move them horns. You know, I'm up in the tree, I can lightly move that around enough to rattle that bag. But when they're really coming in, if I got a set of good horns, I'll start rattling them, and I'll actually brush the tree and everything, just kind of making it sound like, yeah, World War III is going in. And I've brought in a lot of bucks that way, and does coming in just to see what's going on.
Yeah, you know,
they're curious.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they are curious. And all wild animals are somewhat curious. So, you know, calling tactics, and it's really, you know, over the last 10 years or so, become pretty widespread. The calling tactics work with just about any wild animal if you are able to replicate the wild call. And,
right.
And I've, you know, I've heard of people that, you know, can call in squirrels and, you know, we know about, you know, coyotes and fox and bobcats and things like that. So, you know, it's really added a whole new dimension to the sport of hunting. Cause,
right.
I think probably you, John, just like when I started hunting back about 1982, nobody called. You didn't call?
No.
Rattling was something that was kind of brand new back then, but not a whole lot of people did it very much. But it was,
right.
You know, you found a crossing or you found a trail where the deer were coming through and you got your tree stand and the lesson was, the lesson was, get there every day, every available minute. You sit perfectly still, and you look into the wind, and eventually a deer will come. I don't know how many.
They should camp out and wait.
Yeah, exactly right, exactly right. I had somebody tell me one time, you know, good hunters don't hunt, they wait.
Yeah.
So,
I've changed a lot over the years. I don't, like I said in the past, I don't hunt the stand, I hunt the deer.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I'll spend less time in the tree stand by using my techniques of watching the cameras, basically spotting deer, kind of see where they're at, and then going by the weather too. I mean, we just had a low pressure come through past 2 days and the deer haven't moved. I mean, nothing. They have been just, I'm not seeing movement, like going to work. I'm not seeing the deer in the morning moving around. And that low pressure, you know, if you got to play the wind and everything, yeah. The weather has a lot to do with it, too.
Oh,
so a lot of people don't realize it.
Yeah, and if you can get out there, you know, as a high pressure comes through after a low pressure is gone, oh, bingo. All right, so we need to take a break right there, folks. You're listening to American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge, presented by Hornady Ammunition. You're listening to American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge, presented by Hornady Ammunition. I'm the Redbone Mike Crace. Our guest is John Manning from ARO Team Ohio. In Ohio, it seems to be, from listening to you, John, seems to be in the same boat as Missouri. And I'm talking with folks in Kentucky and Tennessee and Arkansas. We're all kind of about in the same boat as far as where the deer are in the process of getting to the rut. And I think most generally that is always the case, although sometimes in Tennessee they get a little bit ahead, and some of the southern states, you know, get a little bit later. So, but anyway, it all has to do with the weather. Yeah, I remember back in the old days, and I'm just kind of reminisce here a little bit, and that's because I think we're about the same age, and you'll kind of remember this too. It used to be that what you really hoped for on the opening day of gun deer season was a cloudy day with no wind, because the deer were going to move better and they weren't going to stay. I mean, they're going to stay in the shadows, but there aren't as much shadow, so they would come out in the open a little bit more. Was that the way you were taught to hunt too? Cloudy days are our friend?
Oh, yes. Cloudy days, your friend. No wind. Beautiful.
Now, here's my one question for you, John, because as I was taught to hunt, my uncle that taught me all about deer hunting, he says, if your eyes aren't watering, you're looking the wrong way. And I will always remember that statement. And when there's no wind, your eyes don't water. And you,
right.
How do you decide which way you're going to look on a day when there is just little to no breeze?
Honestly,
or pick a setup. I mean, pick which side of a bean field, or which side of a cluster of woods you're going to be in. I mean, it really does. It gets kind of hard on those days.
Yep, that's why I go back to like I call it like my I do it for turkeys too, like my gobbler positioning survey. I do the same thing with the deer. Mm-hmm. I do like a deer positioning survey. So I go back to like, you know, basically checking where my trail cameras are,
mm-hmm.
You know, food to bed, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know, water sources if it's dry. And we've been kind of dry. We've had some rain here and there, but not enough to really put any pools of water in. So
Right. Deer
have to have their water. So even when they're, you know, rutting, they're going to have water. A lot of times I actually, I hunt a lot of riverbeds and big creek bottoms and stuff. And during the rut, them deer they stay on that creek bed. They run it back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
They stay right around that water. I don't know. I always wonder why they do that, but I'd say has a lot to do with that. You know, they're close to the water. I mean, just like us, we have to have water to survive. They're in the same boat. So I go back to that. I go back to, okay, you know, thinking, okay, they're bedding here. I know that. That's where they normally bed. Their food source is here. I'm a type of guy, I'll get in between both of them. I won't go in their bedroom. I've always been taught, do not go in their bedroom.
Right.
You don't want somebody come in your bedroom and disturb you. Don't go in their bedroom and disturb them. I will never hunt in a bedding zone. I know people that has, and I know guys like, well, I hunt the bedding area, and I'll go in at 3 o'clock in the morning. No, I don't hunt the bedding zones. I'll go into the corridors in between bedding and feeding. I know a buck is patterned on a good rub line. And it's, luckily for me, I've got property I've hunted for years. I kind of know that same. It's kind of weird. It may not mm-hmm. be the same deer, but they cover that same pattern on their rub line. They run this line right here. They always run this line, and it sure enough, every year they run that same line. So that's, I go back to that kind of stuff when I look on that, and then I watch the weather. I mean, you know, you heard the east of the west wind, you know,
mm-hmm.
Wind from the east, deer move to the east, wind from the west, deer move the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear all, you know, old timers tell me this stuff. And, you know, when I was younger, I'm like, and I'll go out there and sit and like, man, they're right. Low pressure. I had my buddy the other day, and it was a bow shop that does all my work. He's like, he's like, definitely didn't go up. It's low pressure.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he's right. I don't see deer moving, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm getting up in my age now, and I'm starting to be wise as they are.
Well, you know, John, it's one of those things, and I think we talked about this before, that, you know, it's better to hunt smarter than it is to harder. You know, and that's just exactly what you're talking about. You know if there's a low pressure in or a high pressure, you know that, well, I can't get to my stand because the wind's going to be blowing into the deer's bedding area. You know, it's better to not even go to that area. Go somewhere else where you can get in. And that's why I think it's always important, and regardless mm-hmm. of the size of the property you have, to have two or three different ways to get into your stand so you
right.
can get in without disturbing those deer. Even if you want to go in, you know, late afternoon when the deer, you know, are getting ready to get on their feet. And, you know, if you play the wind right, you can still get by with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done it. I've actually rolled in the stand at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I've killed some pretty nice deer,
yeah.
you know, in the last 45, 50 minutes of, you know, before dark or an hour or whatever it is. And I've killed some pretty nice deer. I actually had a buddy of mine when he was a kid, when he was younger, and I kept saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. It's great weather. Let's go, let's go, let's go. He's like, I don't know. Come on, let's go, let's go. I kept talking him into it. And I already harvested a nice buck. And I said, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I finally got him into it. And he killed an 8-pointer. We had 13.5-inch tines. Every one of his tines was over 13.5 inches tall.
Oh, wow.
And I was like,
yeah.
And we only had 35 minutes. We snuck in there, got in there, got set up, and I rattled and grunted, and he came right in just like that. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I remember one day, one time, it's been many years ago, we were, I had permission to hunt on a farm, and I did a lot of scouting because I lived adjacent to that farm. And had a lot of time to get out, and this was before trail cameras, and it's probably been close to 30 years ago. And I had the deer down I mean, to a pattern. I knew when that deer was coming, when this deer was coming. And there was a deer out there that had one side of its horn broken off. He would have been a really nice, big, tall 8-point. But one side was completely busted off. He only had one antlers on one side. And a friend of mine wanted to hunt, and he didn't know a whole lot about hunting. I said, all right, David, come out the day before. Actually, about 3 days before season. We need to sight in your gun because he hadn't shot this rifle, you know, in a couple of years. We got the gun sighted in. I said, okay, now we're going to go. I'm going to show you exactly where you're going to sit tomorrow to kill a deer. And I took him down. I said, you're going to sit right on this log against this tree. You're going to look that way. And about 6:45 in the morning, deer's going to come right over that hill, right down that fence right there, about 30 yards away. And he's going to go right down there and jump that fence and go into those woods. And he said, you're sure? I said, I'm absolutely positive. I've watched him do it a dozen times. So sure enough, first day of the season comes along. I take David down. We get to the log. It's still dark. Sit there. And at about 6:45, here comes the one antler deer comes up over the hill, walks down the fence line. David pulls down to shoot, boom! And I was over probably a couple of hundred yards away over on down the fence line from him. And this is before we had walkie-talkies and all that stuff. So I go running over there because I just know, I mean, it's 30 yards to the fence. I just know he's killed this deer with this Ruger 243. He's shooting. Nice gun. And I get down there, and David's standing by the fence looking around. I said, did you get him? And he said, I don't know. And we looked for an hour, and he had missed that deer at 30 yards. He said, I was surprised. He said, I didn't really think he'd be here that early. And I said, did I not tell you the deer was coming about 6:45? He said, but I didn't believe it. How did you know that? And I said, well, and this is just what we're talking about. I said, I know the deer on this farm. And, you know, and I think that's all part of being successful. And Alex talks about it all the time. You got to do your homework. You got to go out in the woods with a plan. If not, you're just luck hunting. And more often than not, when you're deer hunting, if you're luck hunting, it's going to be like going to the casino and trying to hit a $30,000 a jackpot. Yep. It's just not going to happen very often.
I've got one farm with a buck we call Ghost, and he's kind of a call buck. He's blind in one eye. He's an older buck, and he's going downhill. Last year he was pretty decent, and this year we got pictures of him, and he's coming in at 2:00 in the afternoon. He's been doing it every day.
Wow.
So my youngest boy's like, Dad, I want to harvest him. Okay. That's fine with me. We'll go in there and get him He's been coming into this hayfield every day. A lot of my other bucks are at night. They're staying still at night. I'm not seeing them. I've seen them there for a little bit in the daytime, but like I said, the big, big boys that I've been having on camera, they've disappeared, and I'm not scared. And my boys are like, oh, and I'm like, it's okay.
You're
in there eating acorns. I know where they're at.
I mean, we've got a break. We're talking with John Manning from Team Ohio, American Roots Outdoors Team Ohio. We'll be back with more here in just a bit. You're listening to American Roots Outdoors presented by Hornady Ammunition. Hornady Ammunition presents American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. We're on the phone here with John Manning from American Roots Outdoors Team Ohio. We've just been telling stories and talking about, the early part of the deer hunt here. And, John, do y'all have a fall turkey season in Ohio?
Yes. Yeah, we have one that comes in actually here very soon.
Okay.
It'll be in, and then if it's not ready, and I'll have to check the book.
Okay.
They kind of change the dates on it, but we're allowed to kill one bird in the fall.
Right.
Either hen or gobbler.
Right.
And I actually promote shooting the hens. In the fall, I'm like, guys, shoot hens.
Okay. Well,
shoot hens.
So that's why.
It'll help you.
Yeah, I guess that's why to reduce the number of hens. Is that why you suggest that?
Yeah, because we got so many. I mean, we can have a flock of 70, 80, 90 hens. I mean, I've seen them. And we've got some big, big flocks of birds around here. So, yeah, we're allowed to shoot a hen in the fall. Pretty much anybody that bird hunts around me, they're the same way. They'll shoot a hen.
Yep.
They'll shoot a hen in the fall. I mean, usually, because you can carry, you got your tag. If you're in a deer stand and the hens come through or something, you can plug one. So it's kind of nice. My boy has in the past. He's killed two in the past few years.
Okay.
Being up in the stand.
Yeah, we have a fall turkey hunt here in Missouri. It's in now and goes through the end of October. But there aren't many people that turkey hunt in the fall. And, you know, from the guys I know that do, they say it can be just as much fun.
It's blast.
Yeah, because, you know, it's more of an ambush hunt. And here's one thing. I learned this from the great Ray Eye many years ago, you know, from Eye on the Outdoors. Ray told me one time, he was a guest here on the show, and he said, Redbone, one thing I can tell you about your fall turkey hunting is the place that you turkey hunted in the spring won't have any turkeys.
That's right.
It's a different hunt, and they're on a different food source. So where you hunted where you hunted the spring turkeys is not where you want to hunt the fall turkeys. And primarily fall turkeys, you want to hunt in the woods.
Yep, they're big timbers.
Yep.
What I do, honestly, I don't know if you know a lot of people do this, but if I find a big group, mm-hmm. I'll go in and we'll bust them up.
Exactly, yeah.
And they take off, and we'll sit down right there. Kiki run, just kiki, and bring them right back into you.
Yeah, they start gathering back together, and if you get four or five coming in one time, then it's like, oh.
It's exciting. It's just like hunting, you know, in the spring when, you know, and I've had toms gobbling their heads off in snow, you know, in the winter. I mean, it's, you know, in the fall season, you know, the birds around the house still gobble. I mean, I can hear them. I've been in a tree stand. Last year, me and my boys in a tree stand in one woods beside one of our farms is just loaded with, that's where they all go to. They flock there. And, you know, right at daylight, you know, and whoop, whoop, whoop. Like, oh, man. I feel like I'm back in the springtime.
All right, so Ohio, y'all a little more north and a little more east than those of us here in Missouri and Arkansas. Do y'all ever get the opportunity to deer hunt in the snow?
Oh, yes.
Really? Because that's a very rare.
Especially usually around our gun season we get. Mm-hmm. Our gun season or our late muzzleloader season. Our muzzleloader season's right there at the end of the, right around January, so we get a muzzleloader season. We'll get some snow usually. I think this year we're going to get some snow sooner than later. It was actually flurrying here yesterday on the football field. And I was like, wow. But I mean, to get a good solid snow, I think this year we're going to get it. We've not had much of a fall so far. It went almost like straight to winter in a way because the temperature was.
I saw somebody the other day posted online. They said, it was a phone conversation. It said, hello, this is summer. Fall, are you coming? And it says, yeah. Winter and I are just pulling up.
Yeah, no doubt. That's about right.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to get back up in the 70s here next week. So we're going to do some, I'm off work tomorrow. We're going to do some finalization, make sure everything's prepped up and ready to go for us to get going. I got one farm that's full of corn that they're supposed to be cutting. So I can get back into it because you can't get into it without the corn cut.
Right.
With that little rain we just had, that's going to switch them from beans to corn. So I'm tickled to death, and I'll probably be able to go in there tomorrow. And I got to put some stands up in there real quick. So
sure. All right. So what about the youth hunts there? I know in Missouri, and folks, Missouri hunters, our youth hunt is only a couple of weeks away. It is November 2nd and 3rd, the early youth hunt. And in Arkansas, the early youth hunt's the same weekend, November 2nd and 3rd. And I think the way things are falling and the way things are looking here, just like usual, John, the kids are going to have a field day in Missouri and Arkansas because we should be getting into the good part of the rut about then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Our youth season actually comes in right there around Thanksgiving. We have a 2-day gun season for youth. That's about all they do here in Ohio for that. And they also do a youth turkey season, but they do a youth gun hunt 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. It's usually November, right there before Thanksgiving, usually. Because our deer gun season comes in the Monday after Thanksgiving.
Oh, really? Yeah, see, we start, November... I think the 16th is our first day here in Missouri for the gun deer season. So, and I can't wait. We also have a second youth hunt for the folks out there that haven't looked it up yet in your book, November 29th through December 1st. So a couple of opportunities for the kids to get out. It used to be in January, the second hunt, and they just found out it was just too cold for the kids to get out for the most part in deer hunts. So they kind of moved that up quite a bit. All right, so we got fall turkey hunting. We got I know Arkansas has got a muzzleloader season this weekend. It started, and is open until the 27th. And then also December 14th through the 16th, Arkansas has got a muzzleloader season. Do you do a muzzleloader season there in Ohio?
Yeah, ours is right after Christmas. It's right there, right around January 1st. Right in that spread right there is when they usually have our muzzleloader season. It's in for 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
It changes so much. Usually, I'm tagged out by then. That's my goal. So, but because if I don't tag them.
Sure.
In bow season, because our bow season goes clear to February 1st.
Right.
Our bow season runs all the way to February 1st, 1st of February. It's usually right around the 1st of February is when our bow season goes out. So you can bow hunt clear into, like I said, February. But like I said, our gun season comes in Monday after Thanksgiving. I usually got the 45-70 out there with my Hornadies. And hopefully if I don't have a buck kill by with a bow, I'm on a buck with my gun, and then put a few freezer tags on, a few slick
sure.
heads, what we call them. We'll get some does in the freezer as well.
Yeah, I always, every year when I'm sighting in my rifle or going out shooting, make sure it's still sighted in, I always take the muzzleloader and shoot it a couple of times, thinking this year I'm going to hunt with a muzzleloader during gun deer season. And I have yet to do it. I always back out a couple of days ahead of time. All right, folks, hope you've enjoyed the show today. And we got something new going to be happening here, John, and that is a podcast, which will give folks an opportunity. I think you saw the video. Alex mentioned that announcement the other day. So we'll have more details with on that coming up here in the next couple of weeks about a brand new podcast. They'll be coming to the
podcast.
Yeah, and it'll be coming to the American Roots Outdoors page on the World Wide Web. So we'll have more information on that for you later. John, thanks again. And if I don't talk to you between now and when you do get out in the woods, good luck to you.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, folks. That's John Manning. I'm Red Ball Mike Crace. Remember, when your roots run deep and strong, you never have to fear the wind.
So you never got to worry what the wind might do. American
Thank you for joining us for today's American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. You can find us on Facebook. Look us up on the World Wide Web at AmericanRootsOutdoors.com. We'll be back again next week on this great radio station.